Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
And he had to present the cup to the other team in a sub-goalkeeper outfit. And he was obviously raging, you're disappointed. But
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
Okay, full house for you. David Wilson's with me in studio. Lee Phelps is with us on the line, but also on the line is Michael McCarthy, who's getting a little bit nervous. Mick, what's going on? You're down to the last five.
Is it five? Yeah, seven, I thought. But yeah,
oh, maybe
I'm excited, Ger. I'm not nervous. You know, these are unbelievable waters to be treading in. Like, you know, so I'm the heady heights of all the people who study the form and, you know, check the recent results or check fixtures a month in advance and all that stuff. Whereas I'm just going on my good old fashioned gut. The only thing I know what to do with. And so far, so good.
Have you been jammy anyway along the way?
Yeah, well, Brighton last week was, I think, a pick that I could have made my life a lot easier by just picking Sunderland, who went ahead after a few minutes and kind of comfortably won the game, and that's what most people did. But they obviously, a Newcastle German super equaliser scared me for a little bit. But I literally said that Danny Welbeck would score two and they'd win last week on the show, so I can't really I can't say I was too lucky.
But when you say that stuff, you're always joking, and then it actually happens and I'm like, I don't know, is he some kind of savant? I actually can't tell.
I'm not sure either, Ger. I suppose that's for other people to say. I can't come on national radio and call myself a savant. But if people want to think that way, then that's up to them, I suppose. I don't think, funnily enough, I'm maybe misremembering, but all of the other wins have been kind of comfortable enough. Like, there's been no, like, that Welbeck winner and then hanging on, watching Soccer Saturday, hoping I don't hear Sue Smith's voice anymore screaming for a goal, was the most nervous I've been. But then again, we are down to the nitty gritty now as well, so maybe I'm paying a little bit more attention.
Lee Phelps, did you, when this all started, expect, having been speaking to us now for a number of years, did you expect that any of us palookas would still be around?
I expected all of you to still be in by now. You talk about the expertise I hear every single week. I'm thinking these guys have got it nailed. And one or two would have been good by this point. And I'm happy it's Mick, obviously.
Tell me, there's actually loads going on, because Mick isn't just alive in our league. He's alive in the overall league, which has the massive prize.
Which I'm allowed to keep, Jar, by the way.
Yeah,
that one. I know I have to give the off the ball one to charity, but if I win the $500,000. Staying at home.
See you at work on Monday.
Yeah, I like the fact that you've checked that one out. Amazing that anyone who's got this far, it's absolutely amazing, whether that's the Off the Ball League or the big $500,000 one. In terms of picks for this week, I'm surprised. I mean, we're getting down to the point where you haven't got many teams left. So, you know, the picking's almost done for you. Nearly 40% have gone for Bournemouth this weekend. Now, that was over 40%. Earlier in the week, but it's just kind of drifting slightly. Now, look, I mean, if you, again, a little like Mick just said, if you're kind of hoping for Bournemouth, you're not absolutely guaranteed a win against Nottingham Forest. Obviously, Forest played on Thursday night, got a good win, actually, the first game under Sean Dyche. You would imagine that they'd be harder to beat than they were before. But, you know, pinning your safe passage through to the next round on Bournemouth seems a risky one. Then we've got nearly 20% for Chelsea, 12% going Newcastle. We've got 14% going Leeds United, who of course play tonight as we record this. So yeah, it's a spread out. There's a lot of, not many big teams left. Chelsea probably the only one now for a lot of people. So yeah, here we go. Going back, I don't know if we've got time to run through your entire route, Mick, to here. How did you play? Did you play big teams early on? What was your tactic, if you had one?
I I did play big teams earlier on. I basically have had no luck in any kind of game like this in the past, Lee. So my aim was just to stay in it as long as I could and not play a strategy. So if I thought, look, I mean, if it was Liverpool and I also thought that Everton were going to win, I would pick Everton. I'm not a complete idiot, but at the same time, I decided not to live for other weeks and just live for this one, which I am now paying for because these people with Chelsea and Newcastle left, I don't quite understand how they've got this far without using those teams. But at the same time, no, it's literally week to week. I on purpose did not look at the week ahead's fixtures because I think then you start to tempt yourself into long-term thinking that usually forces disaster. So yeah, it's literally been week by week. I know I had Arsenal kept for a little while, and then there was one week when I was very, very grateful to have them. So it is, I suppose, nice to always have one decent team in your pocket. But it's just literally been week to week. I used Bournemouth very early on. I can't remember who they were playing, but yeah, I'm glad I don't have that decision. And this is in the overall league now. I actually do have them in the off the ball league. So, but I'm a little bit worried about Forrest, I have to say.
Hang on. You've made different picks for the off the ball league and the half a million league.
Just once, yeah. Oh. I have, I used Bournemouth in the half a million league at the same week as I used Arsenal in the. Anyway, it's all come out in the wash that basically I have Villa still left in the overall league and I have Bournemouth still left in the off the ball league.
Right.
So what are you thinking this week then? What's the thought process? I'm not expecting you to give it all away. People might be this is important information, but you're one of a few thousand in the big one left, and obviously a handful of people in the off the ball league. What's your thinking?
I'm an open book here, though. If people want to copy from me, more fool them, I suppose. I'm interested that you said that a significant proportion of people have leads tonight, because I have been thinking of them. I don't think their form is good enough. I've thought of them and dismissed them, I would say, four times in the last 24 hours. But it is interesting that people are going for them. And a name you didn't say there that I can't imagine too many people have used is Manchester United. And they're at home to Brighton. If they're ever going to build some momentum, it has to be at Old Trafford this week after two wins in a row, after winning at Anfield. But there is at least 2 years' worth of distrust for this being the exact type of fixture that scuppers Manchester United. And do I want to join their sinking ship, having been so happily on the outside for so long? I'm not sure I do. So, but I just don't have many choices, because what I've left with is my teams that are left that are reasonable to use this week would be Leeds, Manchester United, and then it's like the Wolves Burnley game, or do Everton beat Spurs, which you couldn't say they're favourites, No. So I kind of think I have in the overall league, I don't think I have any choice but to play Manchester United. And then in the other one, it's Bournemouth or United. I'm worried that when Ryan Yates does his interview last week, he doesn't seem at all bothered that they've just sacked the manager. I'm worried that they respond to Sean Dyche coming in by beating Porto comfortably, and that they are actually a good side. And if all things were equal, I wouldn't be happy picking Bournemouth at home to Forest. Are Forest suddenly back?
Well,
I suppose we won't know till Sunday, but
they don't need to be back. They just need to get a draw, right? A draw will feel 3 points for them.
Yeah,
exactly. And interesting, that would scupper me as well.
Interesting, Manchester United just under 6% have picked them, and similar number for Wolves as well. So you can see most players are in the same, but these are the picks for the half a million game specifically. But so most players are in the same boat as you, Mick. So they're having to use those picks. I mean, none of them look absolute sure things where you're going to be sat thinking, yeah, this is okay. But that's football, isn't it? Who knows? Bournemouth could quite easily beat Forest. Forest could be could have some fatigue. Bournemouth for a nice, relatively restful week, scoring goals for fun. Do they just outscore Forest? But yeah, it's not an easy week anyway, especially if you've got a small pool of teams to pick from. But this is the game, though, isn't it, guys? We've been talking about it all this time, and it's been great. We've been really interested in following it, but now it gets down to the really difficult period for the people still in it, where you're having to balance out. This is the beauty of it.
Are there really only a few thousand left in the half a million league?
Yeah, just under 5,000, yeah.
Wow. And
so We're probably down to, I mean, depending on the results, obviously, but I would imagine that we'll be down to the final 1% after this weekend. 300,000 started and we're down to less than 5,000. So, yeah, I'd imagine it, you know, that probably will half given the kind of fixtures that we've got. So, yeah, we'll be down. And we could have a winner in the off the ball league, couldn't we?
Yeah. Down to the last seven, we're told. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mick, who's your charity? Have you already thought about this? Or is it like one of those a rainy day thing, a problem I'll come to?
A problem I'll come to, Ger. I don't think I'd like to be tempting fate. We did, when I won the last thing we did last year, the Who You Got, it was for the Irish men's shed. So we'll see, maybe mix it up a little bit this year.
You're open to any charities out there who want to get you to do some work for them? Now's the time to talk to Mick, yeah? Before you win all this money. But if you win half a million,
I don't need to do work as well, do I?
Here's your challenge. If you win half a million, you could also give that to charity if you chose.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the magnanimous thing to
do.
That's cruel, isn't it?
Yeah. It's cruel putting that pressure on him.
All I will say is that if I do go for Manchester United here, after being accused unfairly of being an ABU for many years and being really unfair on Manchester United, and some would say even hating them, if they cost me this... That's it. All the accusations will be true.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting game because that's one of the games where there are a lot of prices this weekend that are very tempting. You know, I'm not saying they'll win, but you've got West Ham at 3-1 at Leeds. I mean, I'm not saying Sunderland go to Chelsea win, but the 6-1, you know, capable. Brighton over 2-1 to win at Man United. You know, even Brentford 100-30 to beat Liverpool, or the draw 3-1. Liverpool aren't in great form. You know, I think there's some really interesting prices. Villa nearly 3-1 to beat City at home. Not beyond the realms of possibility, any of these results I'm reading out. Burnley 3-1 to win at Wolves. Yeah, so there's loads of these prices this weekend. It's going to be a really interesting one. We've got, by the way, we've got epic boosts across the TV Premier League game, so make sure you look out for those. We've had a torrid week. Loads of them have landed in the last 7 days. We had an epic boost for every Premier League game and for all the English teams in Champions League action during the week as well. So, it's not been a great week for the traders. So if you're into those epic boosts, it's worth a look. And all the usual ACCA boosts available as well. And if you're having your Saturday accumulator, there's plenty going on with Bet Builders and Impact Sub as well.
Lee, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Good luck, mate.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Now, Mick.
Thanks.
Down to the business at hand. How do you actually make your pick so that everybody can copy you now over the next? Just for everybody paying attention, right? I know you're like, oh, great for Mick. He's going to win half a million or whatever. But everybody else who's watching today, there is going to be a new off the ball league starting in a couple of weeks' time. There's going to be $5,000 this time. You got to sign up on the William Hill app. Obviously, you have to join our league, and you do that by they ask you for a code. It's OTB1. You can also go onto our socials and just click the link and that'll take you straight to our league. But OTB1, once you've signed into Final One Standing, there's a button that says Find My League, and then they ask you to enter the code. You enter the code and all you have to do is beat us this time. It's going to be a share of the $5,000 for anybody. Once the last OTB man or woman goes out, and as you can see, only Mick is good at this.
Yeah. Who else was even close? I'm not sure. I think Mick was one of the last ones. I think Eve
lasted until about 4 weeks ago, in fairness.
So. Yeah. She picked her own team in Spurs.
She fired at Eve, who was the second best of us. Yeah. Imagine what he thinks of us.
Eve picked Leeds on the first day of the season and everyone thought she was mad, and it was the best pick of the year by miles.
Yeah.
You've still got Leeds floating around.
I do still have Leeds. I'm seriously, look, can I actually genuinely ask for advice just between us three? Is Leeds, like, West Ham were shocking the other night, and the stadium, like, it was one of those, you know, the London Stadium, you know, with their white seats lends itself to looking awful when your team's in crisis, because, like, before Brentford even got the second goal, when it was still 1-0 and Paqueta and Somerville were shooting from 30 yards constantly, it was just this sea of white seats and nobody had to get... Like, West Ham are in full-on crisis. Brentford's first away points of the season. You know, they're hard to beat at the GTEC, but they've been easy pickings away. But the other thing is, like, Leeds, I don't know, they've lost their last two games as well. They lost to Burnley at the weekend, so it's not like...
Yeah, lost the last three games, and the game last week against Burnley was a real opportunity for them to put kind of distance even between them and the bottom three. So I would actually fancy Leeds to beat West Ham tonight. And West Ham, even like if you just look through some of the players that they picked on Monday night, it's a poor squad. But the only thing is, what you will say, is that Nuno Espirito Santo will have some sort of a plan. Whether he can get that plan in action to take even a point off Leeds tonight, I'm not sure. But Leeds would be right up for tonight. A Friday night at Elland Road under the lights they love that.
I was about to say that, David. Like, I was actually saying, you're going to think I'm mad here, but Leeds at Elland Road feel like a good night team.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like this is the type of club that will benefit from playing an evening game.
Yeah, like I think...
It's funny you said that.
I suppose there's a lot of Friday night English championship games and...
They're used to it.
Yeah, they're used to it.
And Tuesday.
Yeah, and Tuesday.
West Ham better get used to it.
Yeah.
Do we think that there is a possibility they could go down? They've been so badly managed over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Where I see during the week somebody was making the point, it's an ageing squad. Now, I do think that if there is a manager there who can just organise things and get Jared Bowen... more chances. All he needs is more chances. He's very good still. That might be enough. That there's a level of quality there that the other teams who are in danger of relegation don't have somebody who will score 12 goals between now and the end of the season.
The way I look at it this year is, though, I don't really see a very bad team in the Premier League. I think they all have quality. They all have good players here and there. And there's just a toxicity around West Ham at the moment that might be hard for an organised manager to kind of like... right, give me a month here, we'll sort things out. It just doesn't feel like there's any patience or any... it just doesn't feel like there's any good vibes whatsoever around there. And the other thing is, like, West Ham, again, not to be dropping into cliche, but they do feel like the kind of club that just need to be cleansed out by a relegation every 10 or 15 years. They seem to just constantly do this, like where they say, oh, geez, West Ham, they're finishing 7th, 8th, they're pushing for Europe. We'll never see them down there again. And 2 years later, they're relegated. This has just been their story for as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, but they've had this kind of nonsense of the West Ham way over the last, you know, decades, I think, at this stage. What is the West Ham way? I think the West Ham way people associate, is it like Bobby Moore in the 60s and kind of like intricate football and producing lots of good young players? But I couldn't tell you the last time West Ham produced a player through their academy. I think, yeah, like you just said there, Mick, they kind of don't know or realise what they don't realise what they have until it's gone. And like David Moyes being the prime example of that, doing a really good job at Everton. They got him in, shipped him out, and got him back in again and shipped him out again. So I have absolutely no sympathy for West Ham or West Ham fans. Sorry to Ben Symes off the Balls, resident West Ham fan.
Okay, so you're going to pick them tonight, Mick?
I think I'm going to go for United, I have to say. And look, I picked Brighton last week, and if I had Brighton available to me, I'd be as inclined to pick them as I am to pick United, but I don't have a better option, I don't think. And there is a possibility that United ride the wave of last week, something that they just haven't done, but they look way more dangerous in attack at the moment. And the system is starting to fit in. They're heading towards a semi-settled team. You'd expect at least 8 or 9 of last week's team to play. The goalkeeper is no longer a calamity. Liverpool could have beat them last week because Liverpool are a better team than United, but I thought they did play well. It wasn't like it wasn't a smash and grab fluke. And to be honest, they were good against Sunderland in the previous game as well, and that was overlooked because United tend to do that sometimes and never back it up.
That was routine. But it was a routine home win.
It was such an unusual thing. It was a routine home win with first half goals. And there is just a chance that they go on a bit of a run here. They used to do this. This is not like, I'm not talking about title win in Manchester United. I'm talking about 3 years ago, Manchester United used to go on these runs of 4 or 5 wins that sometimes weren't even that impressive. And it meant that they were 3rd, 4th, 5th, or 6th at the end of the season. And when we were doing our picks in here, we'd say that, oh, United are about to go and wonder, they'll just pick up these wins. So it's not totally alien to them.
Brighton have been very good against recently. Brighton have been very good against the good teams this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
they've won 3 of the last 3 meetings in Old Trafford, they've won the last 3. So
And they were very good last week.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like, again, the fact that they kind of bounced back from that brilliant Newcastle equaliser, Welbeck's flying, goes back to Old Trafford. How's his record at Old Trafford?
It's pretty good. I remember him scoring for Brighton, but I do remember him scoring for Arsenal against the United in an FA Cup game. He destroyed us that night. It's definitely a thing that I think Manchester United fans look back on in definitely a negative light, that Louis van Gaal let Danny Welbeck leave and we signed Radamel Falcao that summer. And well, we all know how that kind of panned out. So I think as well, Welbeck relishes going back to play at Old Trafford. Even before last season, Erik ten Hag tried to sign him back.
That was the right thing to do, I think.
I think so.
Six times he scored against United, four of them at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
It's special for me to go back to Old Trafford. I'm a Manchester boy. I'm a Manc at heart.
And he's in the form of his life. He scored four goals in the last three games.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't know.
And as well,
Wolves over Burnley it is for me. So.
Do you have Wolves and Burnley left?
Yeah.
Well, Wolves.
Maybe I'll pick one of them in the main league, and one of them in the guarantee my exit from one competition.
Wolves are odds-on favourite at home. Burnley are 3-1.
Yeah, I think that's a bit crazy now, to be honest.
And the draw is 23-10. The Man United are evens. So Wolves are slightly better odds than Man United. Brighton are 12-5 to win that game. Seems slightly big. And Leeds are 4-3 on. So Leeds are actually the shortest price of the three teams you have available to you. West Ham, who could also win that game in a smash and grab, like total backs to the wall, 10-man defensive effort.
You asked me my strategy earlier, actually. I don't have any hard rules or anything, but I haven't picked an away team yet.
Oh, yeah.
Of any kind. Yeah, it's been home teams all the way. So I'd be very wary of that now. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I had Liverpool or... Well, I don't know if I'd be picking Liverpool at the G-Tech, actually, but...
Well, yeah.
I would certainly consider it this week, but no, it's home teams all the way.
Liverpool are playing Brentford on, obviously, Saturday night, but they've lost the last four games in London. If they lose their fifth, it'll be the first time since 1970 where they've lost five games away in London.
So regression to the mean would suggest they won't lose.
Exactly.
Or the crap form they're in, actually, who knows? You have Villa, I think, you said, in one of the leagues.
I have Villa in our league, yeah.
They're nearly touching 3-1, 29-10 at home to City. After what happened against the go-ahead Eagles, when they picked quite a strong team, like a weird combination of first-teamers and wannabe first-teamers, and they were abject.
They were shocking. They were like, they scored after 3 minutes and, you know, didn't create like mad chances, but could have been 4-0 up. And it was an amazing crowd. I don't know if you've watched this match or saw any of it, but it was an incredible crowd in a small venue and really loud. And it kind of felt like League of Ireland on steroids, you know, but it was really good. And Villa silenced them, you know, after a goal after 3 minutes. And then there was one of their players got like taken off injured after a bad tackle, was booked going off. It just seemed that just everything was dimmed and Villa just dominated the game and we're playing fine. And it was one of those, oh, this is good now. They're building on a few good performances. And then they scored just before halftime. And Villa, I swear, they were absolutely shocking for the last 50 minutes of the game. And I would have put them in this conversation at least, because Villa Park record is very good. The form has been very good in the last couple of weeks, finally, the record especially, rather than necessarily the form. And they've had some good performances against City over the last couple of years. But I don't know. I just feel like there's something just a little bit off there. That was just, it was like as if something went against them. So let's throw it all out.
It was really weird.
How it felt last night, yeah.
It was really weird. And I think to your point, the form was terrible even when the results turned around. But just recently, the form and the results were aligned. And like,
yeah,
Morgan Rodgers
games, yeah,
coming back into form, even the way that they were talking about Ollie Watkins, it was like, yeah, that's the Watkins that we came to expect. And like, okay, he's back. But then he's not back, it turns out.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I feel there hasn't been that much discussion about, but Harvey Elliott is basically not even, you know, factoring at all. He's sitting on the bench, not as an unused sub. you're starting to think now, are they trying not to use him 10 times over the course of the year so they don't have to buy him?
Is that the deal?
It is, yeah. But like 10 times is such a few amount of appearances that it was almost seen as a non-factor, and we're only in October, so very hard not to use a player that's a member of your squad 10 times over the course of the year when you're playing in Europe as well. And he's played, I think, 3 or 4 games already, but he hasn't been a factor, and Emery has been complaining about him, you know, trying nice passes as opposed to crap passes, crap negative passes. And it just seems like he's completely either given up on him or he is trying to mould him into something. Elliot has stayed quiet. There hasn't been that much talk about him. Liverpool fans are kind of saying, why did we let him go? We could have used him instead of him sitting on the bench at Villa, playing more for Liverpool than he is for Villa. But that's, you know, that's another negative sort of thing surrounding it, is that the big signing that you got on deadline day that was, some said, saved the transfer window, has obviously been such a failure that the manager doesn't want this player.
Maybe that's why Monchi's no longer at the club.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, was that an Emery signing or a Monchi signing, or was it an
Emery has final say over all signings, they say, but I think they were in such a panic that week that who knows? You know, the Villa were in full on crisis by the time the transfer deadline day came. And I don't know. Like Sancho looked decent for a half an hour last night, I have to say. Again, against opposition that wouldn't be in Villa's league if all things were equal. And he had a little bit of an injury, so he had a couple of good games, and then he's been out. So it'd be interesting to see if he can make a bit more of an impact. But I don't know what's going on with Elliot.
And even saying that, what about Ollie Watkins? I just saw the highlights last night. He missed one or two chances as well. He looked like he was kind of coming back into half decent form this last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he was poor enough again last week. Last night he was taken off in the second half, you know, didn't even seem that kind of angry about it anymore. He kind of knows he's not playing well. He misses chances, yeah, all the time. Like, he is a chance misser, but generally is unbelievable at getting them, and therefore will get a share of goals and so on. But it's just not happening at the moment. He did come on and play well against Spurs, as Ger mentioned a few minutes ago, which I think would be something that you would hope would build on itself. And look, they're going to comfortably qualify in Europe. And again, they were in a unique atmosphere last night. They had made a lot of changes. You go in, you get comfortable, you're dominating a game, it goes against you. Maybe that can happen. And maybe we should be looking at the Spurs form line rather than the go-ahead Eagles form.
Yeah, and there's also a world in which they are thinking about City already. And because they've got wins already racked up in the competition, it doesn't matter. The only other caveat to this whole thing is that Tielemans was whining, and made this point on breakfast during the week. Tielemans was whining in the Belgian press in the November window about, like, oh, maybe I'm going to leave. I don't know why I signed here. And then he played every game after that. So there is a, you know, Emery keeps you out of the team until November, and then it's like you get in.
I've thought of that though, and the difference was Tielemans was being used. He was being brought on a constant basis, and it was a sense of like, God, why isn't he playing? You know, and he was learning the Emery way, and that's kind of established fact, absolutely. But he was being used. I don't see how, if they're playing two games a week, how Harvey Elliott is going to mould into Emery's style of play if he's not ever playing any games with any of these players. Now, why don't you play him last night is my point.
I don't know.
Why don't you give him a half an hour last night?
I don't know.
If what you're saying is the case.
I was just looking here. He only got 4 minutes in one of the games. That was a waste, wasn't it? Of a full appearance. give him the 96. Right. Okay. So you don't think Villa are going to beat Man City this weekend?
You couldn't be backing. Even in the good times, you couldn't be saying, right, I'm going to put my must win pick on Villa. And City are in. We're not even talking about him because it's such a one-man show, but City have been imperious the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Since the Arsenal game, really.
Yeah, and this is without Rodri, and Rodri will come back at some point and they will get even better for that. And the young players that they have in the team are getting incredible experience. They've got great flexibility along the back four. They've got great flexibility in midfield. Jeremy Doku, it's just a tiny little bit of end product. If they add that to that, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. They're going to win the league, aren't they?
Yeah, well,
I think
they're going to be Arsenal's nearest challengers after the last couple of weeks we've seen at Liverpool. Although in saying that, City have lost the last two games in Villa Park in the Premier League. City have only beaten Newcastle more times than they've beaten Villa in the league. So, yeah, there's kind of bit of dynamic there. But I think City, the way they've been playing, especially during the week against Villarreal, they were absolutely excellent again. But all the English teams were good during the week against in the Champions League anyway. But I think that's more to do with the strength of the Premier League rather than the strength of the teams that they're playing in Europe. But yeah, Rodri's still a big miss for them. But I think they can cope until November, December time, get him back. And then City will be looking to chase Arsenal or maybe even lead the league title, I think, until the business end of the season.
It's funny you mentioned those last two games at Villa Park, because there was two kind of stories going into both of them. The year that City obviously won the four in a row, Villa were absolutely flying going into that fixture. And it was the cherry on top of an... I think they beat Arsenal a couple of days later, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it was just this sort of cherry on top of an unbelievable run. It put them top of the league, I think, after the Arsenal game. And they hung on to fourth then later on, you know, as things kind of leveled out over the course of the season. That was probably the best ever Villa performance under Emery. It was just unbelievable. Last year was the absolute opposite, because it was at the absolute lowest point of City's crumbling. And I remember watching that game just being absolutely in awe of the feeling, the vibe around it. It was 2-0, City got a goal back, and it just felt like a routine home win at Villa Park, the way you'd get against a Fulham or I'm wary of picking a team here, you know.
They all have incredible records.
We don't get home wins against them, but you know, like, just one of the, like, it just felt like such a routine win against a team that aren't as good as them.
Yeah.
And it was a bizarre thing to watch City for 90 minutes. Neither team are in... Villa aren't where they were 2 years ago, and City definitely aren't where they were last season.
Let's talk briefly about Arsenal and Crystal Palace, right? So Arsenal obviously top of the table on 19 points. Palace are in eighth on 13 points, but Palace's form has been excellent in the league. Obviously terrible midweek against European opposition. Again, I suspect that Palace probably had an eye on this. Is there any world in which Arsenal, off a routine spanking of European superpower, are somewhat complacent heading into this match?
I don't think so. I think Mikel Arteta has them absolutely humming at the minute. They're brilliant in that second half against Atletico Madrid, but they kind of monster them physically, and especially from set pieces. Arsenal, I think, have had 19 games against London opposition, and they've won 18 of them. The only game they've lost was that West Ham game last year, that 3 o'clock game that they kind of got shocked by a Graham Potter West Ham back then. Palace will obviously cause some problems, and did rest a couple of players last night, but I think Arsenal just have too many good players, too many options, and they are looking like every bit of the title contender, possible title winner, so far this season.
The European hangover argument would hold more water against a team who hadn't also played in Europe perhaps this week, Mick?
Yeah, I think so. And 2 days later as well. Like, so for me, Arsenal, we talked about it with the Fulham game last week when we were telling Owen to cool his jets that this is a different Arsenal team and they don't go to, you know, Fulham and struggle anymore. Now, it took them a while to score, but they're not going to concede. They've conceded 3 goals all season. It's absolutely incredible. And this is why, when we're having arguments about Arteta making in the big game sometimes the negative decision, it's not based on never be negative. It's based on trust your team. They're solid as a rock. They do not concede. They have a brilliant defence and a brilliant defensive system. And again, you saw 2 set-piece goals during the week. I just find that it's almost, they're at that point now where it's an impossible place for like a Palace level team to go and get a result, I think. I can't see Palace scoring, even though they're bloody good in attack.
I would have said they're not really a Palace level team anymore. That this is a team who is getting a bounce from having won the cup. That the manager's sticking around and trying to impress everybody, at least for this season. That if there are,
they're brilliant.
There's very few of these teams now that I think might be able to put it up to Arsenal, and this might be one of them. But you're all making the case that
They conceded three. I thought what was brilliant about them last week was the resilience that they showed, and it shows the confidence in that group that they were able to come back against Bournemouth and all. And Bournemouth are a good side as well. But I don't know, like, what malfunctioned there for them to concede 3 goals at home to Bournemouth? You know, like, I do wonder, have they with teams at that level, with that depth of squad playing twice a week now as well, there normally is a kind of a plateau, and it usually comes around this time of year. And Palace will be a very good team this year, and they could finish 7th or 8th, and they could go on a run in Europe and so on. But I just think Arsenal are at a new level.
Yeah, Jean-Philippe Mateta scored a hat-trick last week, but also missed like three more chances. And also Palace again missed quite a few chances last night. They're going to have to take, if they get one chance against Arsenal, they're going to have to take, you know, they're going to have to take it, because they won't be it won't be like Bournemouth where they'll offer them up maybe 5-6 chances. They need to be clinical.
Who is Mateta?
Eze 1-0, won't celebrate.
I did. My preseason prediction was that Eze is going to be the new Eric Cantona in terms of getting a team over the line, and it's I'm sticking by that one. Arsenal Palace live at 2 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk on Sunday. Phil Egan and Brian Kerr are on commentary duty. We also have Everton against Spurs. That's the 4:30 kickoff with Stephen Doyle and Keith Tracy on duty for that one. I actually don't know what to make of the Everton Spurs game. I really like Thomas Frank. I think he's going to do an excellent job over the course of it. I think they're like absolutely in the conversation for that fifth Champions League place, if there is another fifth one this season. But I also think that Everton at home have something about them, and they have enough attacking threat. They have enough organisation and defence, and the quality of the midfield is totally fine. It's passable. So this is not a routine win for Spurs away from home.
No, definitely not. I think even last week they were playing away to Manchester City, where they have a really terrible record, and they probably should have been 1-0 up in that game. Beto missed a really, really good chance. The thing about Everton this week is that Jack Grealish should be back. He's obviously able to play. He couldn't play against his parent club last week, and he is the difference, and he's proved the difference since
back from
he's gone.
Dubai, where he was hanging out at McGettigan's buying everybody roast dinners while he was getting absolutely hammered. Back from that, or back from just out to play?
Well, like, he was in the stand. I did see him in the stand at the Eddie had at the game last week. But like, you know, he's able to enjoy himself in his off time, like everybody else.
He is able to enjoy himself. Full stop.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Njai has been unbelievable for Everton as well. So like, it's like the two of them. As I know, they're not playing as like two tens because Grealish is very much playing on the left wing, but as two attacking options from two different points of attack, I think is very exciting. I wish they had somebody better than Beto inside. I think he's very average. Yeah. And I think then they're, I think their defence, it's like as if it's clicking at the moment and it's doing well, but I just don't trust that, you know, Michael Keane can keep this going all season. And so I just feel like they need a little bit of, I don't know, put Jacob Ryan in the middle, bring Seamus Coleman back in. Everything will be okay then.
Yeah, I don't know. I think just Njai, he absolutely ripped City apart a couple of times in the first half last week.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was fantastic. And one of the good things about Ireland in the last couple of months is that I seen Ireland and Senegal in the Viva, which was a nothing game, but Njai was playing up close, and you could just see he was a level above everybody else on the pitch that day. So he's one of the best players in the Premier League, I think.
We didn't get your take on you're obviously wearing, for people who are listening on the radio, you're wearing your... What era? It's 86, 87?
No, it's the 99.
Oh, it's sharp as 99?
Yeah, 99. It's the. Wow. I said if United beat Liverpool last week that I'd wear this on the next time I was on Final One Standing. So staying true to my word, didn't celebrate the first goal last week when Mbeumo scored. I was still thinking, oh, Liverpool are still going to probably do us here. But thought I'd break it out today, and fantastic win. Doesn't really matter now. They need to back it up tomorrow against Brighton, and I don't have any trust that they'll do that.
I hear. So I'll go back to that bit where you said you didn't celebrate Mbeumo scoring. Were you concerned that it was offside?
I thought maybe... I actually didn't realise that Van Dijk was the one that clattered into the back of McAllister. I thought it could have been Mbeumo and that they might bring it back for a foul. Because
so you didn't celebrate because of VAR? You didn't celebrate because of the fear of breaking your heart?
Both. Both. Because we have no, like, even we've no good record at Anfield for
you don't celebrate first minute goals. It's too long to go. You make a fool of yourself.
Yeah, true. But the thing is, though, if United do score first tomorrow against Brighton, I back them to win the game. Scoring first, a bit like Ireland as well, scoring first for Manchester United, like, is just a massive thing confidence wise, especially at home. So they need to start well again tomorrow. But no, I couldn't celebrate against that lot after the first minute, after the hardship they've put us through in the last 10 years especially.
Very quickly before we go, speaking of celebrating at home, I was watching the Villa match in my kitchen yesterday as it was, you know, getting towards bedtime for the kids, who were sort of like, I'm peeling myself away to watch the last 10 minutes on my phone, and Villa get the penalty. And Buendia steps up to take it, and I'm sort of standing in front of the TV, you know, because I'm ready to walk off as soon as it's over. And my wife tried to film it, thinking that they would miss, because Villa always miss penalties, and they did, and many expletives were shouted and everything like that. Luckily, hadn't pressed record.
Oh, I was going to say,
she only got the post, because otherwise I feel like that would be on the internet by now.
Yeah, Well, you know, they might get a penalty on Sunday against Man City.
I hope not. I really hope not. But I've missed like 7 of their last 10 penalties or something.
Who would take it?
Tielemans?
At this stage.
Back? He's not back.
Oh, no, who would let take it?
Matty Cash.
No. Far too much confidence in himself.
Martinez.
Just let Martinez take it. Just whack it up the middle.
Yeah.
All right. David, Mick, thanks very much. That's this week's episode of Final One Standing. The actual easiest way to join our league is offtheball.com/final1. offtheball.com/final1. That takes you directly to our league on the William Hill website. And your chance to share in $5,000. All you got to do is beat us, Palookas, and Mick, which is, it turns out, not that easy. See you next week.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.